Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. It's on page 948 of the Pew Bibles. We're going to be studying Romans 12, 9 through 13, but let's begin reading back at the beginning of Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 1, and I'll read through verse 13. This is the Word of God. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wondrous things from your law. Lord, unstop our ears, just as certainly as Jesus gave hearing, glorious healing to the deaf man. Lord, may we hear the glorious truths of your word. And Lord, may we not only sing your praises, even as we're studying your word, but send us forth so that we might speak of the love of Christ and show the love of Christ. All to your glory and praise, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In his commentary on Romans, J.V. Fesco recounts a scene from the film version of The Hobbit so that the reader might better understand how ordinary Christians make an impact in the world. Dr. Fesco writes, in quoting from the film version, keep this in mind for the purists. Saruman believes that it is only great power that can hold evil in check. That is not what I have found. I have found that it is the small things, everyday deeds from ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love. You know, here in Romans 12, and invite you to keep your Bibles open as we study God's word together, here in Romans 12, we see that practice of real gospel love by ordinary Christians. Small acts of kindness, small and simple acts of kindness and love that not only keep the darkness at bay, but they carry the battle. You know, these seemingly small and humble acts of service by Christians spread the gospel and bring glory to God. Let us learn today that as real Christians, that's what we're called to be, as real Christians, we graciously and practice and possess the real love of Christ. Well, how should we then, as real but ordinary Christians, live out the real love of Christ? You know, three words here as markers: a genuine, gracious, generous. We begin there with Romans 12, verse 9. We as Christians possess genuine Christian love. Remember, keep in mind where we are in Romans, beginning in Romans chapter 12 and going through verse 15. The gospel moves from the gracious doctrine that the Apostle Paul has been proclaiming to our gracious duty as Christians. You know, in Romans 12, 3 through 8, we learned that redeemed sinners respond to God's grace with heartfelt sacrifice, holy service. You know, God's grace impacts every believer. You know, now in Romans 12, 9, the gospel spotlight focuses on the genuine love of Christ and its impact on every Christian and indeed upon every church. You know, look there, Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Actually, just two words. Love, genuine. You know, R.C. Sproul, in talking about this, as beginning here in Romans 12, 9, it marks the beginning of what he calls the start of short staccato sentences, brief bullet points. He's getting right to the heart of what it means for us as Christians to show real gospel love. Love, genuine. You know, begin with that word love. Agape love. You know, God's sacrificial love for us in Christ. You know, it speaks of Christ's sacrificial love for us on the cross. As you go through Romans, it might surprise you, it did me, how often that word love is mentioned. I'll give you one example. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now let your love be genuine. I'll give you another scriptural example. 1 Corinthians 13. Speaking about the love of Christ. You know, our love is to be genuine. Our love is to be authentic. Our love is to be without hypocrisy. Our love is not to be a counterfeit love. You know, our love is to be real. That's what God's word calls us to. You know, let your love be genuine. But look again at Romans 12, verse 9. It's not only to be a genuine love, it's to be a holy love. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. You know, that word abhor is not a word we use too often, unless you're playing Scrabble, crossword puzzles, reading scripture. You know, what does it mean to abhor? It's a strong word. You know, it's almost to that word hate. You know, there's an intense dislike, an adverse reaction to evil. Abhor evil. Notice it doesn't say accommodate evil or just turn a blind eye, deaf ear to evil. You know, we as Christians are called to abhor evil. You hear that both Old Testament, New Testament. Amos chapter 5, verse 15. Amos 5, verse 15. Hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. You know, abhor is not only a holy attitude, but it's a holy action as well. You know, think of Joseph. You know, when he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, what did he do? Well, let's sit and talk about it. Let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Now, what did he do? He fled. You know, abhor evil. Flee from sexual temptation. You know, we see it again in the New Testament. Jude, verse 23, only one chapter in Jude. Jude 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. You know, abhor evil. You know, abhor hateful and hurtful speech. Abhor speaking falsehoods. Abhor idolatry, stealing, coveting, you know, or any other sin against the holy God. But not only abhor evil, hold fast. You know, look again there at Romans 12, verse 9. Hold fast. You know, and these are present tense verses, verbs. Keep on abhorring evil. Keep on holding fast to the good. What is good in God's eyes? You know, we cling to his word. We cling to Christ in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, possess genuine Christian love. I'm not a sociologist, but, you know, try to keep up with the culture around us. And more than ever, our youth, and especially our youth, but I believe our children and our culture around us need to see real Christian love. You know, not just a, you know, a window dressing of Christian love. Not just putting on a mask of Christian love on Sundays, you know, but real Christian love that saturates us, transforms us, you know, from the inside out. You know, Dr. James Boyce wrote this back in 1995 in his commentary on Romans. He writes, "The contemporary church will never have the power of the early church until today's Christians love one another as a close-knit family." You know, that's even more true today than in 1995. You know, may those who possess this genuine, this real Christian love show it in their hearts, show it in their homes, at church, in the workplace, in the community. You know, possess genuine Christian love. You know, and going back to that opening illustration, you may think, well, you know, I'm just an ordinary Christian. You know, not a preacher, you know, don't have a blog, no social media presence. You know, here God's word graciously reminds us, you know, that an ordinary Christian, everyday Christian, can be used of the Lord to transform the culture around, transform hearts one at a time as we possess genuine Christian love. So that's where it starts. Now verse 10 through 12, we're not only to possess this genuine Christian love, but we're to practice this gracious Christian love. There's a hint, a strong hint of that there in verse 9, but it becomes more clear in beginning in verse 10, this ordinary Christian living, and here God's word, you know, highlights six practices. You know, if we're to practice gracious Christian love, what does that look like? You know, and here Scripture guides us. You know, first, Geneva Bible translates it this way: be affectioned to love one another. Or to put it another way, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And this is speaking of our relationship with our fellow Christians, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Show Christian love for your sisters and brothers in Christ. You know, it doesn't stop there, but that's where it ought to start, you know, in our walk of faith. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 puts it this way. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And just to make clear that brotherly love really is brotherly and sisterly love. You know, loving everybody across the board in the church. It starts with brotherly love. Second, give honor. Outdo one another and showing honor. Humbly give preference to a brother or sister in Christ. Don't think, well, I have to be first and then you come next. You know, give honor to one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Third, do not be slothful in zeal. I don't know whether you've ever seen a picture of a sloth crawling in a tree. You almost have to laugh. It's one of God's slowest moving creatures. You know, just, you know, you can barely see them move. You know, and here God's word says, don't be slothful. You know, don't be a lazy Christian. Resist being a spiritual sluggard. You know, it's a gospel call to daily diligence in our journey of faith with Christ. You know, think of the Proverbs 31 woman. You know, Proverbs 31 verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, that might be said of all of us. You know, no slothfulness, you know, as we're practicing gracious Christian love. Fourth, be fervent in spirit. You know, may your heart burn with the indwelling, God's indwelling Holy Spirit. It's used to speak of Apollos in Acts 18:25. It's a reminder to stay fervent in your spirit. Think about when you first became a Christian. You know, your hearts were burning, you were excited, ready to share your faith. You couldn't get enough of reading your Bible, praying. And here God's word says, you know, stay fervent in spirit in your walk of faith. Be fired up in your faith in Christ. You know, what's the alternative? You know, think of those words of condemnation to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. You know, you're neither hot nor cold. You know, you're just lukewarm. And what's their judgment? I will spit you out of my mouth. You know, be fervent in spirit. Fifth, serve the Lord. It's again, it's that same word for deacon. We saw that in Romans 12, verse 7. If service in serving, that spiritual gift, but we're all called to serve the Lord. You know, and here's the application. Those who really love Christ will readily serve him. Serve the Lord. You know, remember that God graciously gifts every believer. That what we saw in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. You know, but he calls every believer to gospel service as well. You know, preach, teach, encourage, contribute with generosity, to lead with zeal, carry out acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I had a woman in a church. She was near 100, still had a sharp mind, tender heart for the Lord. And every time I visited her, she humbled me. How did she spend much of her day? Praying. You know, you may think, well, there's not much I can do to serve the Lord. You know, that's one way we all can be serving the Lord, praying one for another. Finally, joyful pilgrimage there in verse 12. We studied this significant verse back on September the 5th. You know, but when you look at verse 12 in light of the context of practicing a gracious Christian love, you know, it becomes even more clear, even more sweet. You know, those who practice Christian love, you know, can be rejoicing in hope. You know, if we know that love of Christ, if we're practicing that love of Christ, we can be patient in tribulation. When we know that love of Christ, then we will be constant in prayer. Now, Charles Hodge put it this way: loving Christians will be joyful, patient, and prayerful. Oh, that it might be said of each one of us, rejoicing in our hope in Christ, patient, even in painful tribulation, devoted to prayer. Quote another commentator, technical commentator, Lenski. He writes, joyful hope lifts us over present affliction, and patient endurance is maintained by steadfastness and prayer. You know, those three glorious gospel truths, you know, are inextricably tied together. You know, if you ventured into my study lately, you know, I should put a caution sign out there. You know, there's stacks of books everywhere waiting to be placed. Have a new bookcase in there, just figuring out exactly how to place it. And over the years, much to my wife's, I'll say, patience, you know, I've accumulated a fair amount of books. College, graduate studies, seminary, 30 years of pastoring. You're always thinking, boy, if I had one more book, then I'd be happy. And it doesn't happen that way. You know, but there's one more problem. Well, two problems. One, I haven't read all the books. Maybe one day. But another problem with books, you know, sometimes our learning can become ideological, theological, you know, up in the clouds somewhere. You know, that can happen even when we study Scripture. You know, just it's all theology. And theology is a great thing, queen of the sciences. You know, but here in Romans 12, you know, God's Word teaches us about practicing gracious Christian love. You know, where the rubber meets the road. You know, keep these verses in mind, you know, this week. You know, Lord, how can I be practicing Christian love? How can I be showing that Christian love? Brotherly love, give honor, no slothfulness, fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, a joyful pilgrimage of faith with Christ. Finally, you know, pursue generous Christian love. Now look there at verses 12, well, just verse 13. And spoiler alert, Scripture goes into the meddling mode, not the preacher. Didn't know we would be here on this Sunday when we're talking about budgets and all. You know, but God in his word graciously reminds us that we are to pursue Christian love. What does that look like? Verse 13, Romans 12, contribute to the needs of the saints. Literally, the needs of the saints contribute. You know, the emphasis is on the needs of the saints. You know, what are the needs of the saints? We'll go into it in more detail, but if you skip ahead to Romans 15, Verse 25, Romans 15, verse 25, we read this in God's word. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. You know, contribute to the needs of the saints. You know, Paul was bringing an offering to Jerusalem. The saints were struggling, financial needs, a need for food, the basics of life. You know, contribute to the needs of the saints. You know, as those who really love Christ and really love our fellow Christians, we should be giving sacrificially so that others might be supplied. Let us give our widow's mite. Let us give our 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let us not give just our pocket change to the Lord. But may we be those who, like the loving worshiper, gave her alabaster jar filled with perfume in her love for Christ. You know, again, hear this from God's word. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 through 12. 2 Corinthians 9, 11. But let me begin with verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The needs of the saints contribute. Chuck Swindoll put it this way, love isn't stingy. It freely shares whatever it has. You know, and you know, what's our motivation for giving? Not only the clear command of Scripture, you know, but think of Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 16. Really, when we contribute to the needs of the saints, we're proclaiming the gospel. 1 John 3:16 through 18. By this we know love, that he, that is Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother and sister in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. You know, that's real love. But isn't that the way that Christ loved us? Really gave himself sacrificially, lovingly gave himself through all of his life, from his incarnation, sinless obedience, sacrificial death for our sins on the cross, buried in the grave, rose victoriously on that third day, coming again. You know, how can we not give because of the loving gift of Christ? But finally, as we pursue generous Christian love, look at that last part of Romans 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of saints and seek to show hospitality. Literally, it translates hospitality, pursue, seek after, keep on seeking after hospitality. You know, it's Christian love wearing work clothes and gloves. I was going to say apron, but I don't know who wears an apron anymore. You know, it's practical love. It's public love, love that everyone can see. While Scripture reminds us that church elders should be hospitable, you know, two times there in 1 Timothy 3 and then again in Titus 1, every Christian should show hospitality. You know, what is it? You know, at the very least, it's inviting church friends, you know, and maybe it's a visitor. They've just come to church this morning. Say, come on, you know, come join us for Sunday dinner. Hospitality is keeping the guest room ready, you know, for a missionary, for a traveling preacher, or maybe there's an evacuee who needs a good night's rest. You know, we should practice it and pursue it, you know, with a passion. You know, why do we do it? Because of the love of Christ. Christ's love for us, his real love for us, and our real love for him. You know, hear these words from Jesus, Matthew 25, verse 37 and following. Convicting words. Matthew 25, verse 37, speaking of the final judgment. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? In other words, when did we show you hospitality, Lord? And he goes on, and when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Verse 40. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You know, pursue hospitality. Sobering verse of Scripture in Hebrews 13:2, you've probably read it. You know, entertaining angels unaware. Imagine that day we get to heaven. You know, the angel will come up to us, one of God's servants. You remember me? Pursue generous Christian love. So we are to possess genuine Christian love, practice gracious Christian love, to pursue generous Christian love. You know, go with me again to the hymn of preparation that we sang today, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. You can find it there in your hymnal 644. Learn something this week. Always learning something. But this is the only known published hymn by Kate B. Wilkinson. Lived 1859, 1928, born in Cheshire, England. A unique hymn writer, you know, quite out of the mold. She was the daughter of a mechanical engineer. She did not marry until she was 32, and even then she married a man, Christian man. They were married in the Church of England. She married a man by the name of Frederick Barclay Wilkinson. He was a cashier. By silence, we could say she never went to Bible college, never went to seminary. It said she worked with the young women in West London. You know, but thinking about ordinary Christian living, you know, real gospel love. You know, here are a couple of the verses again from May the Mind of Christ My Savior. That first verse. Well worth memorizing. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, so that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. And then the fourth verse. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self abasing. This is victory. You know, may that be our prayer. Lord, may the love of Jesus fill me, fill this His church, as the waters fill the sea. You know, may the Lord use each one of us, use this His church, to speak and to show the real love of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the genuine, gracious, redeeming love of Christ. And Lord, thank You that we can know that love by grace through faith in Christ. And Lord, be pleased to use us as we seek to show that love of Christ one to another, even to the least of these. Lord, may we show that love of Christ to all that You bring across our paths this week, Lord. Keep our eyes open, our hearts tender. May we always be ready to give that answer for that gospel hope within us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.